Tell me a little bit about the equipment, John, you used to do the testing.
We used three main instruments. Fluxgate magnetometer was one, which is simply a portable handheld magnetometer that, to be very precise, measures the Z-axis of the Earth's geomagnetic field, how strong it is in that one point at that moment. The next one, which is the easiest to use and most enjoyable, is an electrostatic voltmeter, and that will measure both the electric charge on the surface of an object like a rock, and it will also measure the degree of electrification in the air, and particularly on top of places like those Mayan pyramids that became very valuable, because the one that produced the biggest improvement in seed performance on a particular day, I was getting on that early morning and pre-dawn hours, I was getting charges greater than I've gotten in thunderstorms back in New York.
Jeez, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was making me look over my shoulder at the time, to be honest. It was incredible. And then finally, the other one we used, which also showed dramatic results at the same spot in Tikal, were ground electrodes of a type that are used by the U.S. Geological Survey to measure telluric ground current, natural current flowing through the ground. And they're highly specialized electrodes. You stick two of them in the ground, connect them by, say, 100 feet of wire, put a voltmeter in the middle, and you can actually read the amount of voltage that's running through the land. And in fact, that tends to be run in proportion, in a known proportion, to changes in the Earth's magnetic field. And, you know, we knew we were doing things right when at places like Silbury Hill in Europe, the changes we got were occurring, in fact, in those same proportions. So different ones were useful at different type places, but when you could get all three together, you know, or two or three showing a change at the same time, that's when it was very encouraging that this was not some fluke of an instrument that was occurring.
And when you talk about the seed performance, are you talking about the size of, let's say, the corn or the yield per bushel or both?
Both, yeah. And most of the tests we did, just, you know, due to available resources, were through the seedling stage and would show that they would they germinate faster. A much larger percentage of them would germinate. Because it does say, if you read the early white settlers' accounts, they'll report how the Indians used to put up to 5 seeds in each hole just to get one to germinate. And in Europe, in the early days, how they had to save 1/3 of their harvest for seed for the following season. So obviously, if you can improve that ratio at all, it's a big boost in what's available for food. But then we also then took it through. It was the how fast it grew, how much leaf area it produced, its resistance to stress such as cold temperatures. And in one particular season, we did one grand experiment using these stone chambers in New England, where we had we used 3 different chambers. We had in each chamber we had 3 different samples of seed that we left in for differing amounts of time, and then we had samples 100 feet outside the chamber, further down the road in the car, back home in the lab, and it ended up coming out to a total of 9 samples of the seed exposed to the chambers, and more than that in terms of controls. And then they were grown out by a third party, the Harvard ethnobotanist who had gotten us these traditional Indian strains, and he grew them out to maturity in his organic commercial farm field. And when we harvested all of that, the average improvement of those 9 different samples that were left in the chamber for only 20 to 70 minutes, the average improvement was double to triple the yield. And it was in proportion to how long they were left in. The ones that were triple had been left in 70 minutes. The ones that were double the yield, in other words, double the amount of corn by weight, they were the ones that were left in 20 minutes.
That's all?
Yeah, that was surprised me too. I thought, gee, we'd have to be trying for hours
or weeks.
Yeah,
you know,
because these are very subtle energies. We're talking about millivolts involved here. It's not high It's no high voltage.
But did you find, though, John, that the longer the seeds stayed, the bigger the yield or the crop? Did that matter?
We did in that case, in that example, yeah, with the range being 20 minutes to, I think, 70, 75 minutes. Yeah, the longer they were in the chamber, the better they did. And then similarly, we once got some bean seed onto the Serpent Mound in Ohio just as a lightning storm was closing in. And the Serpent Mound sits in a very unusual geological structure called a crypto-explosion crater, and there's all sorts of unusual things about it. And as the lightning drew closer, the geomagnetic fields rose pretty dramatically, and finally it was about to start raining, so the members of our team that were there, which did not include myself, had to run out and grab the samples. We usually put them in gauze bags so they'd be open to the air, and run them in. And we've got in our book a chart showing the rather phenomenal increase in seedling growth that it resulted. And again, by far the biggest growth was out of the one that was out exposed to those energies the longest, the last one retrieved and put in the car.